Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just worship you tonight, Father. I just worship you. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. I just praise and worship you tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, have your way tonight. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, speak through me to your people. Speak to your people tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Do not let them leave this place without hearing from you tonight, without taking something from you tonight, and just carry it with them. And at the right time, at the right moment, they will share it, Father. And then you will multiply it, Father. And you will touch other people's lives, Father, through your word. In Jesus' name, Father, have your way here tonight. Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name, there is something that the Lord wants to do, but I'm not catching it. And Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Father, to reveal this, what you want to share with your people here tonight, Father. Reveal it to us tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. How be it that when we all come together, each of you has a psalm, a hymn, a word from the Lord? How be it that when we walk in the Spirit, we have this on the inside of us, this psalm and this hymn and this word from the Lord? How is it that possible? It's because the Lord speaks to your heart. And when he does, we're not only to keep it to ourselves, but we are to share it with others so that the Lord can multiply that bread and feed many, many, many others with it. How be it that when the Lord speaks to you, he speaks to you in psalms and hymns and the word of the Lord? That is the precise moment that we are to write it down, remember it, and share it. Because you see, as I was sitting there, you know, I have a whole sermon ready. I'll be honest with you. I have two sermons ready. One he gave to me, and the other one he just gave to me about an hour ago. But how is it that when we come together, and as I was sitting right there, I knelt down, I got up, and then knelt down again, and seeking the Lord, and I said, Lord, there's more to this. I said, this is not a one-man show. The Holy Ghost, oh, he's on the inside of you. This is not a one-man show. Sometimes you got something on the inside of you that's going to just bless someone else. And I've been struggling, I'll be honest with you. And sure, I knew about this night for many days now that I had to come here and preach or teach. But for some reason, the Holy Ghost is stopping me. I remember one time, or several times, where I began to preach my sermon or teach my sermon. Just what I had in my heart, too. Didn't finish it. I would have to say, you know what? I'm going to have to stop here and wait on the Lord. Because this is not about me. It's about the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. The Lord wants to speak to you tonight. Oh, he loves you so much. He wants you to be connected with him. You know, I was driving to work this morning, and this does not happen to me often, but it happens to me some of the time when the Lord wants to say something to me. And from the inner man and from my spirit, my lips began to flutter. And I knew on the inside, Lord, you have something to say. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. I began to pray, and just it would just flow out of me. Couldn't stop as I was driving to Bisbee and then on to Hereford. It was just flowing out of me. But then my mind said, well, I'm just going to turn on the stereo and hear, you know, that Christian music. I mean, it's okay, right? But as I went to push that button, it's like the Holy Ghost, keep on praying. And I just began to pray in other tongues and pray in other tongues and pray in other tongues. And by the time I got to work this morning, there was no devil that could get in my way. And people even looking at me differently because I was connected to the Lord. It's like as though they were getting out of my way. I had two people. I was on my computer, and they come up to me and just tap me on the shoulder. And I look at them, Reuben, you're such a nice guy. I don't get it. I don't know why people give you such a hard time. And she walked away. That was my boss. And then another woman came and tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked at her, and she was just smiling at me. And I said, hi, good morning. Good to see you. See, the Spirit of the Lord, that's what the people are hungry for. And it's on the inside of you. It's not about me. It's about the souls. How can I teach this? How can I preach this? Except by only demonstration. That is the only way. I mean, that's how I've learned it. By watching others demonstrate in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. It's just amazing. The love of God. Oh, it's so powerful when you get up at night, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, and get up from my bed and immediately fall to my knees, lay my head on the mattress, and begin to intercede for someone. And then begin to cry for that person that the Lord told me to pray for. And it happened to be one of our clients. And this man has never been nice to me. He has never wanted to accept me. But yet, I forget what time it was, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, wakes me up with this unction to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I was broken for this man, and I prayed for him. He is the father of one of our clients, and I could see him, and my heart was broken for him. And the Lord allowed me to see the need in his life, how he needed Jesus, how he needed the love of God in his life. This is what it's all about. And I know how to walk in the Spirit, as you do too. You've all been in the presence of God, haven't you? And you know how it feels when you're in that presence. And you know how it feels when you're walking in the flesh. Am I right? When you're in the flesh, you can't love people. You try to, but it's difficult. Oh, but when you walk in the Spirit, it's just so precious. I believe that if we would, this is for me too, of course. I said we. You see all these empty seats here? Sure, you can say there's angels sitting there, but you know. But you see all these empty seats here? Guess what? They're not supposed to be empty. Do you hear me? They're not supposed to be empty. I believe we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And that is the highest level of love that we can walk, spiritually speaking. And okay, thank you, Lord. I'm released. I am released. Okay, thank you, Lord. Oh, boy, that was kind of heavy. I had to say it, though. Walking in love is the first requirement as Christians, as born-again believers, to walk in. He said, you shall love your Lord, the Lord your God with all of your mind and with all your strength and with all your heart, with everything you got. And the second one, he said, is like unto the first. You shall love your neighbor, right? You shall love your neighbor. What? Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Connie. Have you ever experienced a holy hush? Have you ever experienced a holy hush? I have. Have you? It's when the presence of God is so strong and heavy that you're just in the holy hush, it is then when the Holy Spirit is in control. We need more of that. Shut down what's in here and allow the Spirit of God to speak through you. How be it? How is it then that when you come together, each of you has a psalm, spiritual psalm, a hymn, a word from the Lord? If we don't have that when we come to church, then we're not doing our part in walking as the Lord gave us that mandate to walk in love. I am not doing that part. That's why these seats are empty. We need to learn to walk. That was free. Sorry about that. I've got something in my heart. A couple of things. But from the two, I made one. And it's about how we're supposed to intercede. And sure, you've heard this many times, but do we do it? Of course, we're going to talk about prayer, but do we do it? I've always said, if you don't read the word, you won't have strength to pray. So if you don't eat the bread, then you're too weak to pray. And I believe that that's where we're missing it. And where I've missed it many times, of course. And I love you guys. I hope I'm not preaching too hard. But let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see what the Lord gives us instruction to do. You know, as we're going through these elections and stuff, I will confess that at work I've been caught up in talking about different candidates who are running for president. And I've been saying some things to other people, you know, and who I like and who I don't like. And I've been doing this for, I don't know, a week or two maybe. And every time I would say something, it's like on the inside, the Lord would be saying to me, "That's not you, son." But my flesh would take over and continue to say things that are not convenient. And then the Lord kept saying to me, "Son, that's not you, son. I don't want you talking about that." That's all he would say. And then I would continue some other day and get into it, since we had started a few days back about this discussion about the candidates and presidency. And, you know, of course, once you start a little fire, it grows. And pretty soon you don't know how to turn it out. He said, "Son, that's not you, son. I don't want you talking about that." And finally, he took me over to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. As soon as I find it, I'll read it. I'm sure you guys have already found it. He said, Paul said here that, you know what? Where is it? Let me find it, guys. I'm sorry. I need to get one of those fancy apparatuses that Eric has. You know, you just push the button too and it pops up. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this. Paul is speaking here. He's exhorting us to pray, right? And to give thanks to all men, of course. He said, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications. Can everyone say first of all? The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, right? He said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's where I've been missing it. He said, son, hey, that's not you. I don't want you talking about that. That's not you. I didn't call you to be on the political scene, and not on any level. He said, son, church, I called you to prayer. He said, church, son, I am calling you to bend your knee and to pray with all supplications, interceding, bend your knee, and thank me for all men, all of them, not just some, not the ones that you only like and hope that maybe that one will win to be our next president. Not just that one. He said, all men. He said, pray for the president, Obama. He said, pray for the governors. He said, pray for the senators. Pray for the mayors. Pray for the teachers, or anyone who has authority, for your boss at work. Pray for them. Pray for them. That's what the Lord said. He said, son, I didn't call you to do this. You know, this scripture didn't even come to my head until just a few days ago. He said, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that ye may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know what? If we're not living as a nation, and, you know, we're not living quietly and peaceably in all godliness and honesty, that means that the church is not praying. We're all caught up in the political scene, and we're all just a big mess. And guess what I found? That since I began to speak politically, when the Spirit of the Lord said to me, say this to this person or say that to the other person, guess what? I did not have the anointing because the relationship was not broken, but kind of beat up a little. And I believe that we just need to look on the things from above and just keep your eyes on Jesus, because that's who we are. He is calling you and me to prayer. I love Kathy Creek. Remember Kathy Creek? She would say, many, many Christians pray from the neck up. I always thought that was funny. She said, in other words, they're praying only from their intellect and whatever comes to their head. Thank you, Father, for my wife, for my daughter and my son, and good night, and we have a good sleep, and, you know, just from the neck up. No, he is calling us to real prayer. He's calling us to really enter in into God's presence. I've done it at home. I just got to do it more so that the Lord can use me as he wills. Just be ready. Just be ready for the Lord. I'm going to slow hum. I know you're tired. I know I am. But this is the part. For this is good, verse 3. This is the part I like the best. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men, say all men, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. He wants all men to be saved. All of them. Amen. Let's jump over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Oh, wait a minute, I think I wrote it down here. I did. Okay, well, we'll go over there anyway. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 says this. I love this. It just wakes us up to the will of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Hey, he didn't just give you a bag of peanuts. He's saying, hey, this is my will. Sure, you still have to preach the gospel. And not every man's going to accept it. But this is my will for all men. This is my will. Look what he said in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. He said, and by the way, Ezekiel means God strengthens. Don't you just like that? It's like he's saying, hey, I want you to be strong and strengthen others while you're at it. God strengthens. He said to Ezekiel the prophet, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Isn't that awesome? Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? You know, this is amazing to me because you know who he's saying that to, right? Yeah, he's saying it to God's chosen. Yeah, that's what he's doing. And look what I came across too. Look, go to Ephesians now that we're at it. I brought another Bible with me. I don't usually do this, but I like the way this one reads. And this one is the New International Version. Jump over with me, if you will, to Ephesians. And I'm going to show you something that you already know, but that I want you to see with your eyes. It's necessary that you see this. Oh, you've heard it. Oh, we're the seed of Abraham, right? And this, that, and the other. But look at this. I love the way this reads here. Let's read the whole, well, I better not read all of it, but Ephesians chapter 3. I'll leave you as homework, chapter 1 and 2. And then Paul said, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," that's us, "surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation," means he saw something in the Spirit, something was revealed to him, he was able to see something, "as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, that as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." This mystery, listen to this. I just like the way this one reads. "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles," that's us, "are heirs together with" who? Israel. Yeah, with Christ. "Members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." Oh, Israel, Israel. I said, oh, Israel, Israel. That's you and that's me. You know, we're oh my God, we're the same body. Where was I? Go to Ezekiel chapter 22 now. Let me get back over there. This other Bible does not have the Old Testament in it, so I had to bring two Bibles. Go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Let me jump over there real quick. I just want you to see this. He said in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 and 31, he says, "And I sought a man among them that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, for the nation, for the president, for the, you know, everyone, for all men. Step before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." You see, when there's no prayer, when there's no one standing in the gap, there's judgment. There just is. God is a righteous God. He is a holy God. This strange thing, I won't say strange, but I believe it was just the Lord trying to catch my attention. It stopped finally, what I'm about to say. Stopped, I'm guessing, about a week ago. But for an entire month or so, this is so weird. The number 11 will show up almost anywhere I look where there was numbers. The one that scared me the most, made me fear the Lord more, was every time I'd look at the clock, it'd say 11:11. It's like, Lord, why am I seeing the number 11 everywhere? Okay, you're scaring me, and you have my attention. And so I just did a little research on the number 11. I'm not going to say this is written on stone, but some people believe that means judgment. It may mean that or not, but I was seeing this number for over a month. Before I went to bed, I'd wake up at 3 in the morning, whatever hour it was, look at the clock, and guess what? 3:11, 2:11. And the Lord said, you know, he was saying to me, "Reuben, you need to repent." He wasn't saying it to the nation. He was saying it to me. I've been so caught up in my job and other things that I was not making the time to pray or read the Bible or listen to God. And then the Lord said to me, the scripture does not say this in vain, that the Holy Spirit is jealous when you are not listening to him and you're listening to other things. Not necessarily sin, but just listening to other things. The political scene, the things of work, the things of this world, just things. And you know, I believe it's time for the church to wake up and pray. Thank you, Eric. I've been fighting with this for 15 minutes or so. No, I don't like to preach these kind of messages because I'm a preacher of love. Really, I want to be a preacher of love. And that's when the Lord asked me years ago, what kind of preacher do you want to be? I said, I want to be a preacher of love, for God is love. But this particular message tonight was hard on me. It's really hard on me. I was wrestling with the Lord. Really, do you want me to say this to them, Lord? They're probably as tired as me or tireder than I am, and they've been working all day, and I'm going to go over there and beat them up? I wish this church was full, and I'm going to try and do this in 15 minutes. In October, I'm glad Lucy and Ivan are here, my son and my daughter and my son. October 1995, we were here in Agua Prieta. And every year, we would come with all the pastors from Cumpas and the surrounding pueblos, and we would come and have just a blessed time in the Lord here in Agua Prieta. It was a pastors' conference, and other ministers would come from the U.S. and from Mexico. It's just powerful time in the Lord. God's presence. Well, October of 1995, I was in a backsliding condition. You see, just because you come to church, and just because you maybe even minister behind a pulpit, you know, Lord help me. I'm just going to go on. I was in a backsliding condition where in front I was serving the Lord, but I was way off. I was just going through the motions and just in a backsliding condition. And that October of 1995, see, October, November, December, January. I was going to get married with Maria Luisa in February of 1996. And so in that same conference, Pastor Calvin and Barbara gave me that little Toyota Chinook. And I was so tired. I was so tired of taking all the pastors to and from the church, taking them to eat after the service, and just taking them to where they're going to go and sleep. And just then come to Douglas and take some others home, and I was just exhausted. And what I'm about to say to you, I have not confessed this to no one except for my wife and Pastor Jesus Espinosa, who was my one of my Bible school teachers. And so I was exhausted, and that night I spent the night in a friend's home here in Douglas, and I was in there with one of his sons, his older son, and so they shut the door, and there was no air in that. And this kid said, I said, you need to open that door because there's no air circulating in this room, you know. I said, can you please open the door? He said, no, I'll just turn the fan on. Well, that's not going to help if there's no air in there. There's no circulation, you know. And it was hot. It was hot in that room. It was no air, and I felt like I was dying from the lack of oxygen. Anyway, so went to bed. It must have been like 12 midnight. And what happened to me was not a... oh boy, help me, Lord. Do it in 10 minutes. Was not a vision. Was not a dream. But this was real, and it happened to me. Spiritually speaking, I went to bed, went to sleep, and I just like, I don't know what happened, but I believe I died. Stopped breathing because just being exhausted. Here I am, 30 years old, about to get married, but in the backsliding condition. Serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, starting a church in Hecori, all at the same time, going to school. This is what happened, and this is the first time I share this publicly. And that's where those 11s come in. The number 11s come in. I began to go down. I was fully conscious of who I was, where I was, what was happening to me. I was fully conscious. I was not asleep, but I was awake, and I felt the reality of this more real than our earthly realm, more real than this pulpit, than this floor I'm standing on. It was just so real, it's beyond words. My consciousness was like, whoa, I've never felt this before. And then I would lay there like that. I noticed I couldn't move, but I was fully conscious and it was dark. And I began to descend. I began to descend, and I went through the mattress, and I could see the springs of the mattress. And I began to descend, and I could see the floor that I went through, the cement. I could see the cement right up to my eyes like this. You say, how could you see it if it was dark? But when I left my body and began to go down, I was able to see. Are you listening to me? I began to descend. I guess it went like this, kind of like an elevator. And I was like, what's going on? But I was fully conscious. It's such a real feeling of where I was, who I was. I knew that I was descending from the bed I was in. And I was going, and it began to pick up speed. And I could see the earth. The earth was going like an elevator. I was going down. The dirt, the earth, I could see it. And it was going down like this. Before I knew it, this is a dark room, by the way. Before I knew it, I could see up, and I could see the bed where I was lying on. And I could see the rectangular square of which I need to get back there, or I'm never coming back. I didn't think about my mom, did not think about Maria Luisa, did not think about no one, but I was so conscious of me and where I was going, and I knew why I was going. No excuses, no buts, no what is this? You know that where you're going, it's because of your sin. And so as I was going down, I started to pick up speed. In the rectangular bed, I could see like a light. And so I realized I was going to hell. 1995. I've never shared this before, ever. And I'm going to share it again, as the Lord permits. And I began to, as hard as I could, with all my might, to go back up. That is God's mercy. I cannot explain to you the horror. The fear is beyond measure. It's like nothing on the face of this planet. It's just like consumed. I can't even explain it. Like your entire body is part of this horrible, fearful fear of the devil. Like every inch of your body is like, you know. So I started running back up. And I know that's impossible. I know that's impossible. I knew that was impossible. But God, what'd you say earlier? But God, in his mercy, I was crying out to him. The moment, see, I wasn't nowhere near the center yet. The moment I began to ascend back to that little hole I could see, first it was big, then it was real tiny, I heard something. Ugly creature. Oh, it still gives me goosebumps. I heard an ugly creature say to another creature, "Get him! Don't let him go!" No, I'll get to that later. So I began to go up, and I was like fighting, and I was... It's not like a dream where you're running and you can't run. I was going 100 miles an hour, as fast as my feet can carry me. Spiritually impossible. And I began to go up, and up and up and up and up until finally, when I got up to where the bed was and into my back, into my body, guess what I was doing when I got into my body? Huh? I was still running. And so when that creature caught up to me though, but when I got to my body, that creature got into my body at the same time. We both made it back to my body at the same time. And I was sleeping under a bunk bed and I was still running and this creature had a hold of me. And the upper bunk, no one was on top. Art's son was laying on that side over here. And the bunk fell on me. I didn't feel it, but it was on top of me. And I was still running. And I finally came to the floor like this. And that's when they came in. And what they saw is they saw this. I was fighting with this thing. And what I wanted to say was Jesus. This evil demon had possession of my entire body. And I was fighting with it, you see, fighting and fighting and fighting until finally I got the word, the name Jesus out. And the moment I said Jesus, it left me and I felt like a dead man. Just exhausted. At the same time, the family was terrified. I was a jogger then, you see. They were just terrified. You remember Art Monke? I was staying at his house. And I said, what happened? I was so scared and I could not believe what happened to me. But at the same time, I couldn't tell them what happened. I said, I had a bad dream. I dreamt that I was running. I lied because I was so, listen to this, ashamed to admit that I was going to hell, that I just made it back by God's mercy. Do not let the shame of some sin in your life keep you from serving the Lord or from just not letting you serve the Lord. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. When I said to the Lord, I'm going to go ahead and confess and testify this testimony, I stopped seeing those number 11s. And I know that the Lord wants me to share this with others, but he'll let me know where. And this is not only for young people. This is for all ages. Listen, I was not a teenager. I was 30 years old. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, he said. But you see, I knew better. That's what makes it worse. Stand to your feet, please. This is why I believe that we as a church need to really get into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. There are so many other people that are in the exact condition I found myself in 1995, who because they think that because they come to church, that's what I thought. They think that because that maybe even in the ministry, that's what I thought. They think that because you get people saved and because you minister to them, that's what I thought. That some way, somehow, if you hide a little sin in life, that you're going to make it to heaven. You know, I've heard many sermons where people say, once saved, always saved. Guess what? I don't believe that no more. I don't. Because of that experience I've had. Hey, I was born again. But my clothing was spotted and wrinkled. You cannot enter into heaven that way. Revelation says that if you don't repent, then I will erase your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. So it says. He says that in Revelation chapter 3. Now, what do you think about them, apples? There's no playing games here. There's no playing church. As I was sitting there and I kneeled down, I said, Lord, this is a hard message you have me. But I obeyed the Lord. No more shame. No more embarrassment. For everyone that comes to Jesus shall not be ashamed. So if you have sin in your life, I want you to come up here right now. And let's get it straight. Let's get it right. Everyone, close your eyes. Close your eyes. I said that if you have sin in your life and you know that you're not walking right with the Lord and you know that there's sin in your life and you say, Lord, please forgive me. I did that awful thing again. But you keep on doing it. The Lord wants to strengthen you. See, the God creator of the universe sees your weakness and he says to you, come up to me, son, and come up to me, my daughter. And I say to you, Ezekiel, the Lord strengthens. I say to you, church, Ezekiel, the Lord strengthens. Father, in the name of Jesus, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't absolutely know that if you should die tonight, you'll go to heaven, I want you to come up here. Father, oh Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord wants to use you mightily. Why should you die, O Israel? We can say from the heart that you shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of the Lord. If you need prayer tonight, come up here.